Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Welcome back to the MIP for all of you that have listened in before. Welcome in to all of the first timers that are listening to the MIP. Now, we got a great show, guys. Great show. We get to turn our attention because we're in full swing of the NBA playoffs. So we got to turn our attention to that playoffs. So in the MIP report, we would go over the NBA playoffs. Fans are returning. Hallelujah. It's some good. It's some bad. And it's been some ugly. And also, tonight, and I will be there, will the Wings get clipped on this Kawhi Leonard and Clippers project right here in Dallas tonight? And to help you guys understand my basketball prowess, my game, my ability in this game, I bring on my best friend who I grew up with, went to school, drove him to night school to make sure he gets to where he needed to be. And he ended up as an NBA Hall of Famer. That's right, Mitch Richmond, NBA Hall of Famer, NBA champion, joins the MIP. But before we go to the MIP report, I want to put a little cap, a little bit more of conversation on that MIP special Green Bay Packers we gave you with Greg Jennings. You know, I thought about this more even as I was headed to dinner last night. And I called Sean. I said, man, there was other things, Sean, my producer, for those of you who don't know. I said, man, there was other things I should have said. I should have gotten out. I'll always do this, you know, after you get off talking and going over things. It don't just end when you turn off the microphone. You walk away and your mind is still on it. You get in the car, your mind is still on it. I should have said this. I should have said, more things come to you. And I just thought about it. And I wanted to make sure you guys understand what I meant in it all. And I thought Greg did such a great job because Greg shared his journey, but he was also shared his pain about that journey, you know, and ultimately, as I thought about it, I was like, wow, you know, I really hope somehow, some way, but you heard it, Greg said it, it's up to him. I wronged him and it's up to him to receive it and accept it. But I'll be right here trying to get it received and accepted as long as I can live. So, you know, Greg is going, and I hope he gets to mend that relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And I want you guys to understand where I am at too, where I am also. I hope and pray that the Packers and Aaron Rodgers mend that relationship and be able to move forward. We're moving in a time where guys are, and we've seen it in basketball. People are bouncing from team to team, getting to make an opportunity, make a decision on go play here, go play there, and team guys are leaving and going to other teams. I hope we don't get to the place where we're playing basketball in the NFL, where guys are just bouncing from team to team. So that's why I hope and pray that this thing works out for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I'm a one-team guy. I never really wanted to play for anybody else besides the Dallas Cowboys. I wanted to be able to say that I started here and I finished here. And I hope Aaron Rodgers gets that opportunity. And for all you Packers fans, I know you really hope it too. And right now your emotions may be talking, oh, forget Aaron Rodgers. Let's go Jordan Love. That's just your emotion. That's just your emotion. And it's okay to let that emotion talk to you. Let that emotion talk to you. But you better make sure you don't give it too much power. Because if you give it too much power and Aaron Rodgers hears you and the Green Bay Packers hears you and then Aaron Rodgers is no longer there and you're dealing and Jordan Love's coming in and now you're going to be dealing with another emotion come September. Because when you start seeing you losing games, and wherever Aaron Rodgers is, he's winning games, you're going to wish you would have told this emotion that you're dealing with right now that's saying, gone, we don't need Aaron Rodgers to get the hell out of here. You're going to wish you would have told that emotion, shut up and get out of here. I'm trying to help you before you deal with the pain of the other emotion. Sitting and watching your quarterback have success on another team while your young quarterback struggle with your team. So let these businessmen work it out and and my mama used to always say this to people, baby, don't put your mouth on that man. That means don't talk about it. Just shut up, baby. Don't put your mouth on that man. And I'm telling all you Packers fans, baby, like my mama said to me, don't put your mouth on that man. Just shut up and hope that things work out. I hope they all work out. And I do appreciate Greg Jennings for sharing all of his truth and his pain and the relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Now, let's get to the NBA and the MIP report. All right, story number one is the NBA playoffs. Man, let's do a macro look at this and why this has been so great. Everywhere this thing has been great. I mean, I've had some competitive games. I've had a few blowouts. And I could get some glory even out of the blowouts because, to me, it shows me something. And let me tell you what I mean by that. When I see Milwaukee putting that bang thing on them goons in Miami, that's what Kendrick Perkins like to call them, goons in Miami. Speaking of Kendrick Perkins, he will be on the MIP next week, so you don't want to miss that. I don't mean, I just had to throw that in there right there. We will have Kendrick Perkins. I like Big Perks. I like Big Perks, but Perk, I love when he calls them the goons in Miami. So you know, those goons in Miami, they gooned up Milwaukee last year. But Milwaukee is coming back now with a whole new attitude in a whole new way, and now they are blowing Miami out. So you ask me, how do I get something out of games like that? I'm not looking at the score. I'm looking at the men. I'm looking at, you were supposed to beat Miami last year. Miami was in the final, took your spot. What are you prepared to do about it now? It'll tell me what kind of man you are, what kind of offseason you had. If you had an offseason of pain and now you want to inflict pain, that's what I see in Milwaukee right now. After an offseason of pain, they said, now I'm going to inflict pain, and they are inflicting it upon the Miami Heat because the Miami Heat inflicted it upon them. I get stuff out of that blowout. Y'all better watch this. That's incredible stuff for me. That's why I love it. I love watching that stuff. I was like, oh, my God. And Drew Holiday, man, they're playing ball over there. They got them a big three. They get them a big three going over there. So I love seeing that. And I love seeing the tight games. I love seeing the tight games. We had those good games in the West. When you see the Lakers and Phoenix, watching that last night, a man going back and forth. And then the Lakers just putting forth their dominance, AD taking over, LeBron facilitating early and then taking over, scoring late. I was like, wow, this is great. And I wanted to see the reaction or the response from Phoenix. You know, Phoenix jumped out and won that first game, man. Booker was off chain. Then they had some adversity and lost that second game. So I want to see, am I going to get a reaction or a response? Let me tell you the difference between the two. When you go to the doctor and the doctor asks you, how was the medication? If the medication was bad and it didn't do you well, you say, I had a bad reaction. You say, I had a bad reaction. A reaction is usually a negative thing to the core of what you experience. Or the doctor comes in and he says, how was the medication? You say, oh, I responded well. a response is usually a positive thing to the situation. So how are you going to react or respond? And I saw a little bit of both out of Phoenix Suns. I saw some responding, you know, because they fought early. But I also saw some reacting because they turned it into a fight late. I mean, Devin Booker just pushed the man, like, get out of here, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, they got a little frustrated. But it's so funny because I don't take that all the way bad. When I was watching the game the other night, Mavericks game and the Clippers game, and my lady said, you know, I want some wings. I was like, man, I'm watching the game. She said, okay, but I want some wings. I said, but I'm watching the game. She said, but I want some wings. So I had to take my iPad, put it in the car, you know, and I had to drive to go get these wings. I'm like, you know, I tell her sometimes, Jerry Jones ain't driving to go get no wings. You ain't Jerry Jones. Go get the wings. I have to go get the wings. I get in the car. I have my pad right there. I'm watching the game. And then I get to the place where I'm getting the wings and the game is on. I'm watching the game, waiting on them to bring my wings so I can get out of here. And this guy come up to me. Luca does something, and Luca's throwing his hands in the air. The guy said, this part kills me about Luca. He kills me about Luca. Luca always throwing his hands up in the air complaining. I say, man. I said, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Don't take that out of him. You know, with young athletes, it's always better. You want a young athlete that you got to say, hey, come on, pull back. As opposed to saying, man, come on, get out there. You know what I mean? You want a guy that's aggressive and you're asking him to be less aggressive instead of a guy that's passive and you're trying to get him to be aggressive. You see what I mean? So Luca is already saying, I know I'm young. And he's throwing up the hands, saying, hey, I know I'm young, but give me my calls. I want that aggression in him. Devin Booker, I don't want Schroeder to get hurt. I don't want you to hurt the dude. But I want to see that losing is not acceptable. I want you reacting to losing, not just responding. I want you to respond in game four. But I want right now you to react to it. I want you to feel the pain of this reaction. And he did. He felt it. He got upset. Lakers been bullet-balling him, and he pushed the dude at the end. And everybody's there. I said, okay, Booker played great early. And now he's reacting. I like that fight. I want to tell you something. As long as a man has that kind of fight, that means he doesn't receive the pain of losing well. You can have all the physical skill set, all the physical gifts you want. If you receive losing well, if you don't feel all the pain in losing, you'll have great physical gifts and you may have great moments. But by golly, you would never have a championship. You'll never have a championship. Those that win championships are those that hate losing so much. They just hate losing so much. You gotta hate it. And when I see some of this stuff, I say, oh yeah. Phoenix, let me tell you something. You got a shot. May not be this year, may not be next year. But with Booker and Aiden, you got a shot because he shows me he has pain within him when he lose. And that's going to be the thing that pushes him to greatness, to become what he ultimately will be. And that's why I'm just saying, I just, there's so much to see in all of it. I can talk about it all day. I'm talking about all day. I see stuff in everything that goes on. And it really is some incredible things to watch, man. On the court in the NBA playoff, young guys stepping up and making great plays, man. Just phenomenal. And Ja Morant and Donovan Mitchell, that fight, that battle over there is just incredible. And a lot of us, we ain't see a lot of Ja Morant. Y'all don't act like you seeing, like you going to see don't act like you see Ja Morant everywhere on TV every week. He's not on every week. But when these playoffs, you're seeing him. And I mean, this dude is phenomenal. Dude, it's phenomenal, man. Watching this young kid, the way he gets to the ball, he's unstoppable. You can't stop him. You cannot stop them. So it's just been so great to Tatum, all of these young guys that are showing up playing well. Man, we've been blessed to see it. Now, we've been blessed to see what we've seen on the court. Let's go to story number two of the MIP report. And that's fans returning. The good, the bad. And folks, we've had some ugly. And every time, this is what kills me. Every time people come on, because, you know, everybody's got to talk about, we all got to talk about, let's show some class. Don't be doing this. All right, come on, fans, we're back. You can't be doing this. When the reality is, I was at the Canelo fight. There was 75,000 people there. Nobody with mask on, everybody hanging out. It was so mind-blowing to see it after being away a year and a half, not having it, to have COVID snatch some of our greatest joys and our greatest inspiration, the ability to come together and watch a game, to watch and root for our team, to have COVID snatch it from us like that. And then we finally get back, we have people coming back, and then to have a few damn knuckleheads try to ruin it for everybody. A few knuckleheads. We got a guy throwing popcorn at Russ. We got a guy spitting at Trae Young. Just knuckleheads. Like you got people fighting at baseball games in the Padres. In the Rockies baseball game, it's insane. And then everybody goes on saying, "We're gonna stop it, but we can't be coming back and acting like this." Ain't nobody coming back acting like this. We got two or three dummies out here. There are two or three dummies that's trying to mess it up for everybody. For everybody. Now, if you're out here spitting on somebody, and that's deemed an assault, you should get punished the full extent of the law. And we should be talking about it on all of these shows that we do so we can send out the message. I've been there before. You know what I mean? I've been there. I've been part of, we need to send a message. You know, I've had the commissioner of the NFL tells me, Michael, usually I would give a person a 4-game vacation for this, but because of who you are and the great exposure that you get for playing on one of the most visible franchises like the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to have to send a message and sit you for 5 games instead of 4. I'm like, ain't no message, man. Send a message with somebody else. Let me sit for 4 games, get it done. He said, we got to send a message. So I'm telling you, I've been the one sending the message to. It's time for us to send a message to whoever spit and make sure everybody knows you do this, you're getting prosecuted. Because really, man, they could start something that we can all be sitting back saying, oh my God, what was that? You know, there's nobody, I don't care. Now, you know, Russ, we all know how Russ is, okay, the popcorn situation. Russ is a no-nonsense guy, and I love Russ. He's a no-nonsense guy. And people do stuff because they know Russ is a no-nonsense guy. You know, so throwing popcorn, no, we shouldn't be doing it. But I'm not telling you or telling the police to go and prosecute you because you threw popcorns. Popcorns, I mean, you know, popcorns weighs about the same much the droplets weigh that's coming out of your mouth when we talk. I mean, popcorns weigh nothing. They hit you, you don't even feel it. You can keep walking without even knowing somebody threw popcorns. You know what I mean? Somebody spit on you, that's a different thing. Different thing. Different thing. You know, different thing. Because now, you know, well, you know, somebody spit on you, you can run up in this thing, this thing get crazy. And then other people start running and then everybody running. You can have a whole nother melee. And me, I'm a funny dude. Like, I don't want you to think you can say anything and get me crazy. You know, I could be walking across the street. You could be, Michael, you this, you that. I'm not coming over there to whoop your butt and let you come and sue me or get me. I get an assault charge just because you're saying stuff. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Sticks and stones, talk all you want, may break my bones, but them words won't ever hurt me. But my man won't let me sit still if you spit on me. I have no peace to that. So what I mean by my man won't let me sit still, I will have to deal with that thought every time I put head on pillow at night, and every morning I wake up when I put toothbrush to tooth, that I allowed a man to spit on me and I did nothing about it. And most men aren't prepared to live with that thought for the rest of their life. So that may cause a whole nother reaction. That's why you got to prosecute him. That's against the law. We got to make sure everybody knows that's against the law, because you cannot be doing that. Folks, honestly, fans have been great in returning. I'm so damn sorry that we have these few knuckleheads out here that are doing ignorant things. And that brings me to this. Kyrie, say what you will and say it how you will. You can not like Kyrie Irving because you think he's a bit aloof or whatever, and, you know, his own man, or say whatever he says, sometimes confusing with the world is flat and all, whatever he says, however you want to see it. But you can't accuse him of being a dummy. And Kyrie sent what I call a preemptive shot before he returned to Boston, and calling out the fans in Boston and bringing up the racist thing in Boston, a preemptive shot. So now if anything goes down, Boston is going to get this stain, because every network, every outlet, every platform, that's all they will talk about. Kyrie said it, and then he got there and he experienced it. And I'm just saying, man, what I'm talking about right now is what we all must do. And we're seeing it everywhere. We all got to police this situation. You understand what I'm saying? And I use the word police purposely there. We all got to police this situation. I say this because of this. And I use the word police there because we talking about, and we certainly hope we made some strides with what we had going on and social injustice and the police here. But people, I run into people and they always say, man, I can't believe we had another situation with the police after George Floyd. I said, why can't you believe that? You can't possibly think everything was going to stop. It was never going to be absolute where everything just stopped. We were moving the needle in the sense that made it not right for police officers to do this. Not right for the big blue and blue blood family to back up wrong police officers. What came out of the George Floyd thing was, okay, you do know now we have bad people out here that are police officers. We have bad people that are police officers, and they've been doing bad things for a while. So now it's not okay. We can't cover. When other cops start getting in trouble for being there watching a police do something wrong, that is the turn that we were looking for. We'll still have bad cops, bad people that are cops, and they'll do something wrong. But now they know they don't have the backings of all other people, of all other police officers, because now we'll prosecute you for not doing anything and just letting him do whatever he does, and you knew it was wrong. So now the police is policing the police. That's why I dropped it. The police will police the police. And yes, that situation will get better. It won't stop completely. The fans tonight, like in Boston, we must do the same thing. We have to police the other fans. If you see somebody getting ready to do something, Boston, I'm telling you, you don't want this stain on your name like this. You make sure that you have to do something. You have to say something. You have to get some authorities. I'm not saying go do anything crazy. Don't put yourself in harm's way. They got people out there that can that you can go to make sure. Say, hey, this guy's causing a problem. That's all I'm saying. This guy's causing a problem. This guy causes a situation. And you have that responsibility. We're asking the police to police the police. Let us police each other and make sure we are not getting the fan, the ugly part of the fan. You say what you want to say. Talk, say, I don't care. You know, people are like, man, when I hear people saying nasty things, man, talking about my fan, I don't care about that. That's just talk. You can say whatever. I don't care. You know, whatever. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't got nothing to do with that. You know, talking about my mom and talking about family. Yeah, yeah, you're not talking racist stuff. You're not calling racial slurs. All of that is out. All that is out. You know, man, I hate you. I hate you. Boston show, hey, you know, Kyrie, we hate you. Yeah, you say all that. Kyrie, there ain't nothing wrong with the man. They hate you. You stood up and you stood up and told all the Boston fans, I love it. I'll be back. And then you win off a sign with somebody else. If they're mad at you, they're mad at you. Stop trying to preempt them and make them not mad at you. I'm just making a call to the fans. Let's police ourselves. And let's make sure that nobody, these bad few, don't take away what we just got back. We just got this back. I mean, come on. Miss Thursday night football. I miss being at them games. We just got it back. Not a violent man, but I feel like Kwame Brown right here. I fell asleep, took a nap. I just felt like I was choking those dudes doing all that crazy stuff. You know, that Kwame's so crazy, man. Did you hear Kwame say that? He told Matt, he said, man, I'm a spiritual man, but I did take a nap and dreamed I was choking the hell out of you. Okay, Michael. All right, so listen, I'm not telling any fans, don't choke anybody. Go get the authorities. Let's make sure we're able to come together and enjoy, man, the blessings of being back together, rooting for our teams, you know. Let's make sure we do that, man. I just love this, man. Let's get to my story number three, because I'm going to be there tonight. And they are going crazy here in Dallas. Story number three. Boy, will those wings be clipped on the Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers project tonight. Down 0-2 to my Dallas Mavericks. No team comes back from 0-3. They won't come back from 0-3. That's why tonight is the night. Tonight is the night. And it's on the road, and it's so much surrounding this game. Let me dive into this for you. My God. When this season, when last season started and Kawhi signed with the Clippers, it was, and I never thought this was Kawhi. I always thought, oh, this is some marketing team putting Kawhi in a place, trying to grow and blow up Kawhi. They got him driving through L.A., new king in town, little king thing dangling off the rearview mirror, Kawhi in L.A. I said, man, can a king rule with silence? Can a king rule with silence? I'm going to jump into this because king, when you say rule, would really mean lead. Can a king lead with silence? One of the things that I always used to hear when I'm playing and we were assessing guys and bringing guys on, you always ask, is there a leader? And one of the things guys would always try to say, if a guy's in a great position and makes great plays, he says, well, he's a leader by example. I mean, he doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything, but he's a leader by example. And I would always take stuff in. But I would always say in the end, is he a leader? if he's only a leader by example? Well, he doesn't talk, but he's a leader by example. Then the truth of the matter is, he's not a leader. He may be a good example for a leader like me to point to and say, hey, man, show how hard he worked, man. You got to work hard like that. But he can't be a great leader, because great leadership will require communication. It will require an ability to bring the best out of the other people that you are with and around. And how can you bring the best out of them if you're saying nothing to them? I don't care how great you play. You can't expect him to just see you play great and start playing great. If he can do it off his eye gate, he would have done it already. The other player, if he can do it off his eye gate, he would have done it already. He needs help getting there. So that's why I say, when I see a guy that plays hard all the time and say, oh, he's a great leader by example. No, he's a great example for me, the leader, to point to and say, hey, man, I need you working like him. But if he can't talk to this man, he can't lead. And Kawhi's a quiet dude. He's a quiet dude. And you put him in that spot. Listen, Kawhi in San Antonio, that wasn't his role. He just had to play basketball. He had Tony Parker, Ginobili. He had all those great players around him. Those were the leaders. Kawhi could just come in and play. Kawhi in Toronto, that wasn't his role. He could just come in and play. They had Lowry over there. He was just holding everything together, leading. They had other players that had been there, that had served. And now they were the speakers. They talked. Kawhi just played. Kawhi with the Clippers. Pointed out to the Clippers, go get me Paul George. Go do this. Go do this. Go do this. Now you are the true leader. And it ain't working. Because you can't be a king without speaking, without leading. You can't be the king, because you can't expect people to just see you and pull out what's best in them. Because as a leader, you got to pull out what's best in them. You got to help them pull out what's best in them. This is what they mean when they say, oh, he raised everybody's game up. He helped him pull out what was best. However you have to do it. And as a leader, you have to be a communicator to know what. Before I can say anything to him, I got to find out what it is I need to say to him. So I got to find out what makes him tick, so I can speak to his tick. What makes him tick? So I can speak to his tick. That's great leadership. If Eric, like I told you about Eric Williams, Eric Williams wanted to make, he said, man, it's my mom, man. I want to make sure I can take care of my mom. As a leader, the first thing when I said that, when I asked Eric, what does he want to do? He said, man, Mike, I got to take care of my mom, man. I promise I'm going to take care of her. I said, Biggie, now I have to speak to him. I found out what makes him tick. I got to speak to him. I got to give him a way to pull on this tick every time he needs it. I said, Biggie, every time you see a Joker line up across from you, you think he's trying to stop you from feeding your mama. That's how you think. And you tear his ass up. You take the passion down inside of you, what makes you tick, and you tear his butt up with it. You can't do it without opening your mouth. First, I should say this. You can't do it without opening your mind and your heart, because you got to figure out where this man is and what do you need to pull out of him to get him to where you want him to be. My bishop always says this: great coaches knows how to look down inside the kid and pull out his king. Great leaders knows how to look down inside a kid and pull out his king. And you can't do it without speaking. And Luca, he speaks many languages. Woo! My language, your language. And that's why the Wings are about to get clipped on this Clipper project tonight in Dallas. Oh my God, I can't wait. And I'm gonna be there with my scissors ready to clip this project right off. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, but listen, listen. I may be delivering you something in a humorous way, and we can laugh about it and have fun, but I am delivering you to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel on this. You can't be a king without speaking. LeBron speaks to all of those guys. Chris Paul said, yeah, you know, my family, I left my family back home. So the team became my family. We watched the playing games at my house. Well, I talked to them the whole playing game. That's leadership. I don't hear Kawhi doing any of this stuff with his team. And he didn't do it in the bubble. They're not doing it outside the bubble. And it doesn't work. If Chris Paul would have been the Clippers, that'd have been a whole different story. If Kawhi would have fought for Chris Paul instead of Paul George, that would have been a whole different story. Because then you could have completed what they needed with the Clippers. But right now, I'm looking at that wing to be clipped on this project by Luka and the Mavericks tonight. We should dive into this a little bit more and a little deeper. I just love this NBA stuff because I'm bringing on about to talk to my best friend growing up. And he can validate me in a sense because he knows I put it on his butt too growing up playing basketball. And he got all the way to the Hall of Fame. A best friend for all of my life, man. Mitch Richmond, NBA Hall of Famer, joins the MIP. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Listen, guys, joining the MIP right now. With all of this NBA stuff going on, it's time to bring him in. And I have been waiting on this one right here for a number of reasons. This man grew up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We used to call it Fort Lickerdale when we were running around. He went to Kansas State. He was a 1988 first-round draft pick of the Golden State Warriors. Fifth pick overall. Six-time NBA All-Star. He's a six-time NBA All-Star and an All-Star MVP in 1995. He went out the way all athletes want to go out. He dribbled out and took his ring as he walked off the court with the Lakers, winning a championship in 2002. Joining the MIP, I've always called him my best friend, Mitch Richmond. Mitch, I'm just telling you, I'm so glad to have you on, Mitch. Let me tell you why I need you right now, Mitch, because you know what? As I turn to start talking about basketball, I say, well, how can these people know that I understand basketball at all? I said, oh, I got a best friend who's an NBA Hall of Famer who I whooped his butt all the time. That's how they should know. I whooped his butt when we played basketball all the time growing up. So they should know that I know basketball. I'm bringing Mitch on to tell them about it. Mitch, how you doing, my brother?
Good, man. How you doing today, Mike? I'm good. I'm good. I mean, I love the segment that you brought me in. That last part of you kicking my butt, I don't remember none of that. Okay? I don't remember none of that.
I knew you were going to say that.
I don't remember none of that. Come on, man.
No, honestly, Mitch, let's tell the truth. I mean, Mitch and I, we played together a lot growing up. We used to play together. We it was me, Mitch, and we had another best friend called Vince. His name is Vince. We called him 4'9". The right. joke is, maybe how tall you say Vince is, man? Really? Man.
That's a good question. Probably
maybe
about
5'5".
Yeah, about 5'5", maybe.
5'4". But we call him 4'9". So right. so 4'9" was the point.
Right.
Mitch and I, we were playing. Well, Mitch wanted to. Mitch is bigger than me, but his big ass just wanted to shoot the basketball, and they would throw me on. Man, go into that battle with the boy. So I had to go battle everybody. This joke. So we would travel around a lot, Mitch. Travel around playing other people, man. It was incredible. I used to have to drive Mitch to night school. So I want you to know, when it's your best friend, we really did grow up together. And I ultimately, it's a great story because we both grew up together, you know, went to all-star games, played in games, you know, basketball, I mean football. And then in the end, man, we both ended up in our prospective sports Hall of Fame. That's a hell of a story, man. That's a hell of a story.
Yeah, people. I mean, like I tell people all the time, Mike, you really had some basketball skills back then. I think the first time we kind of played against each other, you know, we both, you know, you played football, I played a little football too. So the physicality was there. You know what I mean? Right off the jump, you know, we were playing really physical against each other, and then we kind of, you know, befriended each other after we started playing one another, and you transferred to another school, to St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, I went to Port Anderson High. Then all of a sudden, we just started hanging around, you know, playing each and every time that we could. And Mike was a really good basketball player. Really good basketball player. Had a hot temper. He had a hot temper on the court, too.
Like, I get on out.
Always the peacemaker everywhere we went. Like, you knew when Mike was mad when he couldn't talk and his voice, he lose his voice. Like, Mike, just calm down, bro. You're gonna catch a heart attack. Just relax. Relax. Hey. But yeah, you had the fire in your belly, man, at a young age. No question about it.
Hey, bitch, it was so funny, man. We were going places, man. And listen, you guys understand, we grew up, these some real neighborhoods now. Right. And we're going to play some real hard jokers. These some hard. I'm telling you right now, all you white people would have been scared of these Negroes. These some hard looking brothers. And every time we get ready to go play, Mitch be like, "Listen, Mike, don't go in here talking all that noise now. Don't come in here talking all that noise, man. Don't get these people mad. Let's just go play some basketball." I said, "Man, I'm good, man. I'm good." But soon as we get playing, Mitch, what goes down?
No question about people. Well, people, you think about it now, Mike, and you say, how did everybody know that we were going to be at the park that day? You know, it was just a word of mouth. You know what I mean? So when we went down to Pompano, it was Pompano, Florida.
Pompano. Oh, my God. Pompano.
Pompano. We were supposed to play the best players that they had in Pompano. And I remember I said, "Hey, Mike, man, come on, man. We're in somebody else's neighborhood. We're going to have to be really, really chill, man. Let's just go get this money. Or however we're going to get, if we get soda pop money, whatever it is, let's go get this win, and then let's get up out of here." So
Pompano's known to be ruthless now. All that Pompano up in there, Pompano, hey, people, that's known to be ruthless. They tell you, don't go messing around in there.
It's ruthless down there. So we went to the game, and when we got to the park, it was like packed with people. We were like, "Oh, my God, man, it's packed." So all of a sudden, the game started, and we started really kind of rolling. And then all of a sudden, Mike started talking. "It's my court. It's my gym. It's my court. It's my place. It's my hood." And all the guys on the sideline started standing up. And I'm like, "Hey, Mike, come on, man. Hey, just relax, man. Just play the game the right way. Don't be talking so much mess, man. We got to get out of here after this." Jesus. But we had a great time, man. It was a great time, man. We never lost. We never lost. You know, anytime somebody wanted to play, we take your best three and bring it on.
Yeah, and you know, I think about that, Mitch, man, what was so great about that, and it was different now, you know, because now, you know, I said, wow, I look at kids now, and I said, wow, you know, they have to, you know, everybody got all these great leagues for all the kids, you know, when we grew up, there was no leagues like that. You had to earn your way on the court. You couldn't even play at 8, 9, 10 years. I said, boy, get off the court. Boy, wait till you get big enough to play. You couldn't even play. So we had to fight our way on to those courts. Like, you had to show them that you were worthy to play in games. You know what I'm saying? So we always played up. You know what I mean? Playing older guys, playing bigger guys, guys that will get down there and battle, man. I think about it now. How much that helped us in our perspective sports moving forward, that we were always playing up, always in the bully, being bullied or trying to bully people. You know what I mean? It's just different now.
Yeah. I mean, in every neighborhood who had a basketball court or that had a basketball court, it was filled with people. You know, it might be kids over there hopscotching. It might be somebody over there doing something else. But when the games or the basketball court, it was always filled. So we used to go around and you can always find a game. And I know if you remember 19th Street Park.
Yeah. 19th Street. Yeah.
Like when I first arrived over there, nobody knew who I was. I was playing football and I wanted to start playing basketball. It took me a time to get on the court. I couldn't get picked. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, I want to play. You know, that was with Sapp and all those other guys used to play over there. And all of a sudden, you know, I started getting on the court and getting a little respect. And then that's how you really kind of improve your game. You go to each and every neighborhood and see what you line them up and see how they fall and see how it comes out.
It was just different then, man. When I think back through that, man, it was a process to getting on the floor. It taught you some hunger. You know what I mean? It taught you hunger. Everybody didn't get no trophy. And yeah, you're going to go home and get whooped up, but it's going to teach you something. Now it's a little different today. And I think I see it sometimes. It makes its way in the NBA. Because these playoffs, Mitch, these playoffs been great, man. I've been enjoying this stuff, man, watching this stuff from a different perspective. I mean, each series has its own story. But what I love from a macro level is I look at LeBron getting up there in age, but I look at all these young dudes, Donovan Mitchell, Ja Morant, Luka, Trey Young. These guys in the playoff right now, of course, you know, LaMelo Ball and Zion, all these young dudes that are not playing. Man, the league has some great young talent right now, Mitch. When you see it, what do you think about the young talent that has come in this league?
Well, I think the league is going to be in good hands. Just like you say, you have some great young talent. Guys are showing that they belong. Guys are showing that they want to be the best. Each and every year they come out and bring something else to their game. It's really fun to watch. I know you, how competitive you are. You know, I want to be on the court, man. I'm like, man, I want some of that. You know what I mean? But it's really good to sit back and know that the league is in good hands. And, man, your Luka guy, man, wow, man. He is the Clippers, man. Like, he has no fear, and you can tell that they are all scared of him. They're all scared of
him. Yeah, Luka is a whoof. I'm going to go watch that Friday night here in Dallas, that game Friday night. I'm going to be at that game, man. And that Luka and the Mavericks up 2-0 on the Clippers. And let's start there since we're going to dive into these playoffs, man. I want to break down each of these little games. Just real hit each game right quick on that Maverick Clip game. What's going on with Kawhi, man? Does Kawhi not understand that you know, he came into L.A. to take over L.A.?
Right.
You know, take over from LeBron. And right now, Luka is about to take over him. I don't know if Kawhi, you lose this series. You know, that Luka passes him, I believe, in the perspective of, he's going to be the next thing. I thought we were looking at Kawhi being the next thing after LeBron retires and everything. But it looked like Luka's about to take that spot. You think Clippers got a chance at coming back and beating the Mavericks?
Of course, they got a chance because they got a lot of talent. They just have to figure out this pick and roll, man. I mean, like, it is just it's atrocious, man, to see. You know, Luka just dribbles at his own pace. Like, when you're guarding a guy like that, the first thing you got to do is not make him feel comfortable. Luka feels comfortable on the court. No one's rushing him. He's taking his time. He's getting to anywhere he wants to get to. And the only one is really kind of pressuring him a little bit to make him speed up a little bit is Beverly. Beverly tried to get into him, try to turn him, make him go faster. That's the only guy kind of making him go fast. Everybody else is just like giving him a space. Let him come around the pick and roll really, really slow. And he is carving guys apart. He's too big to think that you're going to bother him when you put his body on him, because he's pretty a big guy and a pretty physical guy. And he makes it look really, really easy.
That's so funny you say that, man. He just moves at his own pace.
Yeah,
that's so you said guy being fast, man. He just moved. He the other day when he turned, looked back at Patrick Beverly, said, "You're too small. You're too small. Now get out of here. You're too small, man." You know, and listen, you say what you want now. Luka got that thing in him. Like, he been at the park with us. Luka got that park thing. We can call it that park thing. You know what I mean? That old fight where he'll fight anybody, anytime. And you can't, like you told, you can't even intimidate this dude. That's why I love watching him. Ain't no intimidation. And he's just playing the game. I can't wait to watch that game Friday night, man. The Lakers and the Suns. Dude, I knew Devin Booker was good. Yeah. But you know, you see things in the playoffs that you're like, wow, because, you know, it's the step up. It's the next level. Every game's going to be against great competition because you're playing this great team. Watching Devin Booker, man, that's been a treat to watch him.
Yeah, Booker is smooth, man. I think we all knew that he came in with a trigger. He has one of the smoothest jump shots in the game. But I think what he added is to his game now is he's taking guys off the dribble. He's really good at the pick and roll, and he's making the right play when he's not shooting. So he's giving his team opportunities. And when you guard a guy like that, it's really truly hard to guard him, because if you're trying to help on him, he's going to make the right play. I think Chris Paul has really helped his development also. I know he's done a lot of stuff on his own, but I think, you know, I think Chris Paul put a little. I think he's like one of those steaks, man, that you ain't even put on the grill yet. You feed it to your dog. I mean, he is hungry, man, and he's going at every two guard. He's going at every guy he's faced. I really like his demeanor, because it's all about the competition, man. And right now, he's figured it out that each and every game to be good. And to be great, and you know it, and only the great ones do it, is they got to show up every night. It doesn't matter what they're going against. You got to show up every night. And Booker is learning that you have to have that type of attitude to come in each and every game if you want to be great.
Yeah, you know, one thing, even in that series, man, God, I wish somehow that, you know, Chris Paul wasn't in this situation again. You know what I mean? Being hurt again. You know, it's just, God, every time he gets in the playoffs, man, he has such great, and then he gets hurt. He gets hurt, and it's just, I just wish he can get through that. But I love Booker. I want to get through the West here on the Blazers Nuggets series. How you see that going?
Yeah, the Nuggets, man, they really kind of hit their stride a little bit. Porter's been really kind of coming into his own. I think that series is probably going to go that's going to be a haywire. That's going to go up and down, because you're playing against a potent Portland team that, man, Lillard, I mean, he's the second best shooter in the game behind Curry. But this guy, he's shooting from half court, man, two steps past half, and you have to get on him. I want Portland to play with a little more flow, you know, because Lillard is such a point guard. I think he could probably get, you know, a little, his teammates evolved a little bit more and still get his points. I think sometimes when he gets on a roll, no one else touches the ball for about five or six possessions. And then you kind of get out of rhythm sometimes. But I think if they have a little bit more movement, And because he can get his shot anytime he wants. I think it's good for him to kind of get McCollum off, get some of his other teammates off before he start attacking. Because once he's attacked, he ain't passing that rock. And it's a good thing for the team, but I also sometimes think that it hurts.
Yeah, man, listen, before I get to talk about that last Grizz Jazz thing, game, listen. When I see the man, I think about you, Mitch. And right. I remember Mitch. Man, Mitch, you used to shoot that ball deep. I mean, right. It was deep. It was certainly deep for what I consider deep to be.
Right, right, yeah.
Now, these jokers now took this thing to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
I mean, these jokers shoot from the logo, half-court logo. And I mean, it's dropping. Dude, I was like, wow, the shooting in this league has gotten incredibly insane.
Yeah, no question. Well, you know, in our game, we didn't shoot that deep because we had hand checking, and a guy would hand check you all the way up the court. So,
right,
you didn't have the freedom to actually sit a guy right in your face, because anytime we knew that you was on a shooter and you was playing a shooter, you had to get up in him. The hand checking helped because you can push him off his spot. Now it's very hard for you to pull up in that game. Now you can't touch no one. And so if you got a potent shooter like Curry, it's very, very difficult to stop those guys, because the freedom is so important for them. If they get space, it's very, very tough to stop them from shooting anywhere. So the definitely, you know, guys sometimes shoot 15, 16, 17 threes in one game. Man.
Whoa. Oh, you know, when you shoot like that, man, you know what I started? I started thinking about Sapp. You know, that's Bruce right. Sapp. He shoot like that when we at 19th Street Park or running large over at Sunland. Running large. Well, y'all say what y'all want, but running large was Steph before Steph knew. And I mean, he was quick too now. At Sunland Park, I don't know why that dude should have been in the NBA too, man.
But people on the Sapp, man, good God, Sapp had game, bro.
Man.
Like, yeah, he had he had everything. He had the pull-up game. He had the long game. He could defend. And right. He'll dunk on you.
He'll take you down low. He'll fight you, man. And we're talking about these were neighborhood heroes. These are the baddest dudes in the world in the neighborhood.
What about the guy you played with at Piper?
Michael DuPont.
Whoa. Hey, listen. So I was when I first started basketball, my sophomore year was my first year playing ball, and we ran up against you guys and this dude Michael DuPont. Man, this dude was so nice. Oh, he had a sweet J. Dude run all day. I'm like, man, who is this guy?
You know Mitch? You know who comes to mind when I think about Michael DuPont? Jason Tatum. Yeah. Tatum comes. He reminds, you're right. He was Tatum back then, you know.
Yeah, gang, yes.
Runner, beat you mid-court, deep, short, right. However you want to play, dunk on you, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. Right. DuPont was able to do that, man. He was a beast, man. Let's clip it as West. I want to go through it. The Jazz Grizz, and I want you to come back and tell me who wins these series. Who wins this Jazz Grizz series?
I think overall, I think Jazz will pull it out, but I think Memphis, man, is a hungry young team. And in sports, man, there's one thing that you have to have. You have to have a great camaraderie with the team. A couple of things you have to have. You have to have luck, and you have to have support from your teammates. And I think Memphis is one of those teams that they play very, very well together. They're a young group that they believe. And, you know, they've been staying pretty healthy. And that's what you need to kind of succeed in this league and in any sports. What you're trying to do. So I think Utah has they have so many weapons. They play so well together also. I just think Memphis is a up-and-coming team, but I think Utah will end up winning that series.
Got the Jazz winning this series. Blazer Nuggets, who y'all winning?
Man, I think that's going to be tough, man, because I'm going to say Portland is going to come and win that series.
Oh,
I'm gonna say Portland's gonna win that series.
That's going to be interesting. Now you said the Clippers have a chance of coming back and beating my Mavericks, man. Who wins that series?
Yeah, for me,
a chance is a chance, but it don't mean you got enough to go pick them.
Yeah, no question. Well, for me, I got to see something different, and what I've seen in the bubble of the Clippers, how they play the pick and roll against the Dallas Mavericks, they have done it now, and they haven't showed Dallas that they're doing anything different from what they did last year. That's why Dallas is so comfortable. It's nobody on that court is uncomfortable. Nobody on the Dallas Mavericks is uncomfortable. And when you're playing in the playoffs right now, you know that these guys can shoot the ball like they can. And Doncic plays at a slow pace. You have to speed him up. And if you're going to continue to play four quarters the way you play in Doncic, I think the Dallas Mavericks pull that series up.
Ooh, that'd be boy, where would the Clips go if that happens?
It has to be some type of change in that pick and roll, bro. I'm telling you, if they don't change it up, it's going to be a long, long series for the Clippers, and a lot of questions are going to be asked here in L.A.
Boy, in the offseason, you ain't lying. And who the Lakers, Suns? Who wins that series?
I think overall the Lakers will pull that series out. It's a bad matchup for them right now, because the Lakers still, you know, have that one guy, LeBron James, who each and every game he gets better. Just like you said, I wish Chris Paul would be able to play and do what he does. I think, you know, this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. This is one of the guys that you say, and you know how they grade everyone, that you have to win a championship. But this, everywhere he's went, he's really kind of helped the franchise, made the players around him better. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer in my book. He don't have to win a championship because he's winning each and every day he steps on the floor.
Yeah, he's a bad man, man. But and you're speaking of Lakers winning. You're talking about LeBron.
Yes.
You got the man. He went in the Hall of Fame this year, and you got a chance to play with him. What were your thoughts when watching that beautiful ceremony of Kobe going in the hall? And tell me, what was it like, Mitch? Because you know, later in your years now, Kobe was a two guard earlier years. What was it like watching Kobe? This is the evolution of the game. What was it like watching that guy, playing with that guy every day?
Well, I think, you know, you hit it on the head earlier where we talked about the young players are coming up, and the NBA is in a great place because they got so many good young players. You know, just being on the Laker team and being in practice each and every day and seeing how he worked and seeing his work ethic. He was at practice early, practice late. On off days, he was at practice working on his craft. And he took it so seriously. So we knew definitely that he's already won. When I arrived, he already won the championship 2 years in a row. And each and every year he was getting better. He was getting more confident. And no question about it, man, his work ethic and his approach to the game, you knew he was going to be in a great place. And the NBA was going to be fine with him carrying the torch to the next generation.
Yeah, Kobe, man, what a remarkable career, man. But before I go through the East, you know, I want to talk about the whole NBA. You've seen it, and what we saw just the other day with Russell Westbrook, popcorn being thrown on Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Mitch, your thoughts on that, and has that ever happened to you?
Well, You get stuff thrown at you at times, and you don't know where it came from. You know, anybody who played in Philly, man, Philly was probably the roughest crowd because you always get in altercations with people in the stands. Some arenas, man, that some fans are really, really, man, just out of control. They drinking, they talking smack, talking about your family. And sometimes it get really difficult. So and sometimes it turns you up. When you see a fan talking noise, you want to shut him up. And you end up, you know, just trying to put your best game together and talking to him the whole game. But seeing that altercation, man, it just sad to see because we just got the fans back in the arena, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? And these guys are so happy to even see and play in front of someone. And people got to understand when Westbrook has always been a fiery guy. So thank God that those guys was there to try to hold him back because he didn't, his mind, you know, just goes. He's so dedicated to the craft. He wants to be the best. He don't care about friends. It was just sad to see because we just got the fans back in the arena.
It's funny when you started talking about it, and you and I never really said anything about this, but for you to talk about those Philly fans.
Yes.
Those Philly fans, that's exactly those Philly fans in football, too. You know?
Oh, my God. You want to just knock them over the head, man. Oh, my God. They talk about your mama. They talk about everything. Yeah.
They don't care. They don't care, those Philly fans. Now, but interestingly enough, Kyrie Irving was talking about the fans in Boston. Now, I know you've had some experiences in Boston. And Kyrie talked about, of course, him getting ready to return to Boston. And he hopes it's not anything on the racial tip, on the racism tip.
Right.
Have you experienced anything racially racism in your visits to Boston when you were playing?
I can't say I have in Boston. I think for me, I've always like when I played in the NBA, I always try to block the crowd out. And I'm telling you, it's one place that I couldn't block the crowd, and that was Philly. It was either Philly or Washington, where they were just annoying and they sit you right behind the bench and the guys just continue to talk. So for me, I always put a towel over my head and really kind of zoned out and kind of listen and kind of figure out the game and try to be prepared when I go back in. So I put a towel over my head and just kind of watch the game and try to avoid anybody, but Philly was the place. Boston, I didn't receive any of that.
You just can't. You can't avoid the people in Philly, man.
You can't avoid
the people in Philly.
No, right. No, that's the one place, man. One place
they won't let you. They won't let you. They will not let you. They won't stop, man. They will stop. I was there one time. We were doing a Monday Night Football game, and I had to go to the bathroom. Right. I was on set. And the whole while I'm doing the game, Mitch, these people, Dallas, you know, I can't even talk. Right. And then I look at my security. I had security with me. I said, I got to go to the bathroom. They're like, no, Michael, no. We better not risk it. You know, so I'm sitting there for a minute. You know how I get.
Right.
I waited for a minute. I'm like, how good was it? Let's go. We're going to the bathroom right now. Like, we going. I don't want to hear this. We going right now. We're in Philly, right? They take me to the bathroom, and the security take me to the bathroom. And all the Philly people started going crazy.
I'm telling you, man.
They pushed me in the bathroom and locked the door. The Philly fans were coming. When they pushed me in the bathroom, I was right up against the mirror, and I looked
right.
Oh, snap. What you gonna do now? You had to come to this bathroom. Oh my God, man. Those people are crazy in Philly, man. They're absolutely
fight in the stands. Like the opponent's wearing another jersey. Like, I mean, they're crazy.
They're crazy, man. Yeah. But they get some crazy great play out of the basketball team right now. And which brings me to this on the MVP. Who do you have for the NBA MVP this year? And you know, three guys are pretty much right now in the running. And that's why I turned to Philly, because Embiid is there in the running, you know, stuff. And of course, Jokic in Denver. Who would you say is your MVP for the year?
Man, like Jokic is playing such at a efficient way, man. He can really pass the ball, can shoot the three, can't jump, but he knows his position. And Curry just been just ridiculous, man, this year. No question about it.
Ridiculous.
And the one thing I like what Doc has done with Embiid, man, is he has told him, man, get your big butt down there and attack that rim. because this guy is a bona fide superstar, no question about it. He has the smoothest jump in the world. He got the post game. He got everything. He got the step back. He can dribble. He can pass. He's the best big man in the game, I think, if he puts his mind to it, to go down in that block and just terrorize. And, you know, you can shoot some threes here and there, but just go down there and just eat, man. Eat first, and then you can have dessert. But you gotta go and eat, and I think that's what Doc is really kind of putting in his mind, man. Get your big butt in that paint, you know what I mean? And then you can have dessert every once in a while.
Best in the game, you call Embiid. So you say you're giving the MVP to Jokic?
Did he miss any time? He missed a little time, didn't he?
Who, the Jokic? Yeah, no. All of them missed a little time.
All of them missed a little time.
Jokic's probably been the most healthy out of all of them.
Yeah, Jokic's probably, I think they probably will. Man, it's just hard because Philly is, you know, sometimes are you going to weigh that, you know, the team in Philly has really kind of probably been one of the best teams in the league this year. Definitely with his play, he's a big part of that. Jokic, their team kind of went up and down. He still had great play, and Curry didn't make the playoffs. How are you going to, you know, judge that, getting that award? Man, it's going to be hard, but listen, I wouldn't care if any one of them got it. But I think overall they'll probably give it to Doncic because he's been just on a tear in so many different ways.
I think it's interesting that we got big men in a guard game.
Right.
A couple big men up top now. You know
right.
what I mean?
That's
a little toss back to the old days of playing basketball. The days we grew up. And let's start in Philly. Let's just start because we talked about Embiid right there. Let me get you on this East with Philadelphia up 2-0. Over the Wizards, who wins that series?
Oh, come on, man. And Mike, you have to ask me that question?
Yeah, I know. I'm just asking.
I love to see both of those guys play, Beal and Westbrook. They just have a young team. They start peaking at the end of their year, but I think Philly has really found their rhythm. I think this series, they won't have no problem with Washington. I think in the next series, we're going to see what Philly is made of, and all of those changes that Doc has made with this team. Are they going to continue to play the way that they've been playing the whole year? Are they going to revert back to they did last year? And so that's going to be the competition in the next series with Philly.
It's interesting, though, when you think about it, you know, even over in the East, there are a number, three of the teams are up 2-0. You know what I mean? It's almost like the East is, the Bucks over the Heat. Yeah, the Nets over the Celtics. Each 2-0. And those series are probably going to go that route. Those teams are going to win. Talk about the Bucks and the Nets winning those series. But I want to put like on the Nets, man. When you look at that squad that come together and you see that kind of talent.
Right.
Does anybody in the East have a chance at coming out of the East and beating the Nets?
Well, Philly is one of those teams because they have a dominant big man down low. If you try to play, what's the big fella that they're playing?
They got Blake Griffin.
That's what I mean, Blake. So Blake is playing the five position, and that's a tall task for him to play Embiid with his size. So that's the series where I'm saying, well, B got to be very, very dominant and see what happens there because watching the Nets, man, if they start playing together and like they are now, it's going to be very hard to beat them. Now, I see James Harden playing defense now. He's moving his feet.
Why are you saying it like that, though?
I said it like that because James Harden.
Like, James, they have no defense in his vocabulary, and all of a sudden he's playing.
Come on, Mike. I mean, if I'm saying anything wrong, you let me know. Only thing I've said is that James Harden, we know that can play defense because when he came in the league, he was guarding all the tough two guards. He came off the bench and was like a defender. Once he got to Houston, that's how he got his name because he was playing both ends of the court. And when he went to Houston, He kind of slacked off there a little bit. I think he had 1 year where he started saying, I'm going to play defense, and he had a pretty good year. But I think now he's back to, you know, at least trying. Back then he wouldn't try. And I think now if you got him, you got these guys playing on the string, I mean, they got shooters all around the court, man. And then there go that man. There go that boy Kevin Durant, bro. He's one of the smoothest guys that ever play this game. I don't know if you ever seen him in person, man. He got a feathery shot. His shot is so soft when it hit the rim. It's amazing for him to shoot it on, like, kind of like on the side of his, on the left side of his face, and how that ball kind of, man, he got the spin. He got the, he's a heck of a player. So anytime you have Kevin Durant on your team, one of the best players in the game, you have an opportunity to get to the championship.
That's so interesting because, you know, just them big dudes shooting like that and handling the ball like that. But let me tell you what I get out of this now. And I'm going to tell you this because I love – neither one of these guys are going anywhere, but I love the series anyway, that Hawks-Knicks series, just to see the Knicks back in the playoff. Now, watching that game, we should have gone last week. Last night, did you watch that last night? We should have gone. We should go next Wednesday. We should go next Wednesday, man. What's called Fresh West, man. I'm definitely going next Wednesday. We'll fly out next Wednesday and go. Okay. I told Fresh West because he's been trying to get me out there anyway, man. I was watching last night. I said, man, I should have been in New York, man. With Mitch, we'll definitely go next week. I'm going to call Fresh. Let's go. Let's go next week. We're going to be there again because that'll be game. Right. We're going to definitely. Right. It's next Wednesday. So put it on the calendar. But what I heard just then, because you heard when you were talking about the Nets, I need to hear this part. You're talking about the Nets. You said they got a chance, the 76ers, because of the big man play. Because of the big man play. Now, let's go to the NBA Finals. You throw the Nets in there. I'm just going to pull the Lakers out. If the Lakers get through all of this, they got to get through. Pull the Lakers out. With the big man that the Lakers have in Anthony Davis, do you think they can possibly get past the Nets? And that entourage they have on offense.
You talk about, you got LeBron James on that team, man. He finds a way. And now you have one of the best big men also in Anthony Davis. And this is, I think, what Anthony Davis is the same thing what I'm talking about in B. Anthony Davis is, you know, what, 6'11", very hard to guard in the paint. When Lakers are playing really kind of their best basketball at times, he's playing the five position because a five man can't match up with him. You know what I mean? He can take him in that mid post. He can shoot the J without even taking a dribble. He can shoot the three without even taking a dribble. And then if you switch on him, he can take a small man down. And I think they always want Anthony kind of to start down low first, but Anthony wants to be on the perimeter. So I think at times he doesn't exert himself like he should because he wants to play on the perimeter. You know, when you have a mismatch, you have to dominate your mismatch each and every time until they make a change. And I think sometimes he lets guys off the hook only because he's such a great player that he can do the inside and outside. But I think sometimes, you know, I never see any like teams like now where you have a guy like Anthony Davis and 1 through 5, it's very hard to guard him, putting these guys in foul trouble. Get some of those starters out of the game by going down low and making them guard you. And I don't think they take advantage of that enough. But I know the one thing Anthony Davis wanted to do when he came to the Lakers, he didn't want to play the five position. But when they won games, and when they were the better team, he played the five.
Hey, he said, I don't want to play that five.
I don't want to play that five. I don't want to play that five. Too much banging now.
You get out there and play that five. That's what you're supposed to be doing anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy, man. I can't wait to see how this progresses, man, and how this playoff progresses. I need to ask it because I'm a big fan. Is there any chance the Mavericks have, you believe, of getting through these playoffs and making it to the finals?
Of course.
With Luka, how do you see, with the Mavericks, do you see that? How can the Mavericks get there?
Hey, I listen, man. Anytime you lace them up, man, and you got a great player in Lukic, you know, you have an opportunity. And I'm going to say the same thing that I said thing with James. Luka got to play some defense, though, bro. Okay? He got to play some defense if he wants to get to that next level. He has to guard, too. He takes a lot of breaks on the defensive end. And I don't see teams really kind of take it. Well, you know, the Clippers have been trying to take advantage of him. They've been putting him in the pick and roll, and each and every guy been going after him. He has to guard, and if he starts guarding, I think Dallas will have a chance to go as far as they want to go.
Hey, I just want to tell you, man, thanks for taking the time, man.
No problem.
You know, thanks for taking the time and breaking down some of this NBA basketball with me as we continue to enjoy these playoffs, Mitch. Trust me, I'll have you back on to help get to this thing when we get deeper into this thing. You know what
all
I'm
right.
saying? Because it's all
no
been
problem.
Such good. And I can't wait to watch again tonight as we dive right back into that playoff basketball.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's been some great games, man. And the New York arena, man, has been rocking. I could see that through the TV, man. New York basketball is back.
I know. I was saying that. I said, gosh, yeah. last night. I kept saying that. I'm calling Fresh West right now, Mitch. I'm serious.
All right.
Man. Next
All
week,
right.
Let's be out there winning. Let's get out there winning.
I'm with it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. We're going to do that. Okay. We'll definitely do it, buddy. All right. Appreciate
All right, it. Man. All right, man. No problem, man. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.